Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael J. And this is Hypothetical. Welcome back to the show, Evgeny. I'm very excited to have back the man behind the boards that he continues to deny, our producer extraordinaire. What's up, Evgeny?
Well, my desk is made out of wood now, so I guess we can call that a board.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Are there knobs on the desk?
Yeah, I guess if you include like the interface knob for the interface that's sitting on top of my computer on top of the desk.
All right. So after all those denials, I'm actually correct.
No, you're still wrong. It's man behind the board, not boards.
Okay, well, don't you have a cutting board or something you can bring on your desk?
I'm not going to let you win this one, Michael.
You know I won't give up, right?
I know you're not going to give up, but I'm still not going to give you the satisfaction.
Oh, boy. All right, well, then we'll jump right into our warm-up game since you're going to continue to deny how right I am. And today we're going to do a who, what, where, when, and why. The topic is going to be drones. Who do you want to fly a drone with?
You know, it's so as soon as you said that, as soon as you said drones, the first thing that came into my mind was Mary Poppins.
Okay.
And instead of let's go fly a kite, it's let's go fly a drone. But I'm trying to think of the rhyme scheme to go with that. And let's go fly a drone, peep into someone's home. Let's all go fly a drone. Hey, that works. Cool. I'll make the remix.
That is a very creepy song. Let's go look in someone's home.
Hey, it just came to my head. You know, I'm the man, the myth, the legend, the Yevi Reed. So, hey, that's what I do. No, seriously, though, if I was going to fly a drone with somebody, I'm going to pull a Michael here for a second, and it's going to be three people.
Okay. That's totally fair.
The first would be Casey Neistat.
Okay. YouTube extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The second would be MKBHD.
Another YouTube extraordinaire.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the third would be Dick Van Dyke.
Not a YouTube extraordinaire.
No. But if I'm going to have someone sing, let's go fly a drone, I want it to be like the original chimney sweep from Mary Poppins.
Okay. Way to tie that back to your original story. That works.
All right. I try.
So why do you want a couple of YouTubers and a dead actor?
Well, Casey has a lot of experience flying his drones in and around Manhattan.
Okay.
And when I say flying his drones, I mean crashing his drones. If you look at his YouTube channel, there's a lot of spectacular drone crashes. And I want to be able to at least one-up somebody there.
Okay, so you're going to have a drone crashing competition?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're looking at. And we're going to use his drones, that way it's not coming out of my pocket.
Perfect.
And he's got like four or five DJI Phantom 4s just lying around. I'm sure we could use those for spare parts.
Okay. So how does this competition work? Is it based on the number of drones that you can crash in a certain amount of time, or is it based on like judging the quality of the crash?
We're going to take it one step further. We're going to do drone jousting.
Are you going to ride on the drone while you're jousting?
No. We're going to duct tape cell phones to the landing struts on the drones like little jousting sticks.
Okay.
And that's where MKBHD comes in, because he's like the person to go to when it comes to tech reviews. So we're going to have him sitting there on the sidelines, giving us these tech reviews of like how the iPhone XS is just annihilating the Note 9 in the jousting competition and what specs come into play in that situation, and real-time analyzing the 4K video from both of them as they're going towards each other. So you've got 4K video from the drones. Follow me on this. You've got 4K video on both drones, 4K video on the phones, and you've got real-time analysis from MKBHD while Casey and I are trying to see whose drone lives while we've got Dick Van Dyke serenading us in the background.
Okay. I follow along. That's
You followed that?
I followed that, yes. It's basically a drone joust between you and Casey Neistat. MKBHD, I think it is.
MKBHD.
He's going to be providing the color commentary and the play-by-play. And yep. Dick Van Dyke is singing. And is this going to be done in Manhattan, or are you going somewhere else?
Just because of JFK and LaGuardia and just the sheer number of airports and airspace regulations you have to deal with there, mm-hmm. I would say no. This would be better suited for, like, just outside of Bakersfield.
Okay.
So, nice flat farmland with nothing around, and you can get far enough away from an airport that you're in, like, Class E or Class G airspace without having to go hunting for hours upon hours to find where you can actually do this.
Okay.
There's a lot of regulation that comes into these things.
Well, in a hypothetical situation, we don't have to worry about regulation so much.
Okay, so hypothetically, we'd get clearance from the FAA, and we would do this on the runway at JFK.
Ooh, okay. That'd be fun. I mean, it wouldn't be fun for all the passengers stuck waiting for their planes to take off because you've closed down JFK to do your drone joust competition.
Although they could suffer by flying in the LaGuardia.
Yeah. Oh, that is suffering. But at least they'll be serenaded by Dick Van Dyke.
See, that's the point.
All right. I'm following you along.
What about you? Who would you be doing the drone flying with?
Well, I had two very different ideas. Let me give you both, and then you can tell me which would be more fun to do. The first is really simple, and that would be the Wright brothers, since they essentially invented flying. I think they'd be pretty stunned by what a drone can do, considering A, they haven't been alive for a long time, and B, when they started flying, things were quite different, both in magnitude and capability, essentially. So I think flying drones with the Wright brothers would be pretty fun.
I'm trying to think who would die of a heart attack first, Wilbur or Orville?
Probably both when they see me trying to fly a drone.
Well, you know these drones are pretty much foolproof now, right?
Have you seen me try and use any sort of remote control vehicle?
Not yet, but I will in Chicago next year.
Then you'll realize how I can easily give people a heart attack.
As long as you don't get us kicked out of the hotel, that's all I care about.
Well, we'll worry about that when we get there. in the meantime, my other scenario is very different, and that is
wait. You can't go on the scenario B yet.
Why not?
Where are you taking the Wright brothers?
I think we will do it in downtown Chicago.
Okay, not too far from their original home in Ohio.
Right. But it's very different because back when they were alive and well, downtown Chicago wasn't quite the area that they were used to. So it'll be a little bit of culture shock when they see the big buildings and the hustle and bustle of the city and
cars
and people and everything else going on.
Football.
Yeah. The whole thing that goes in a big city. So I'd have them come to the big city and I wouldn't have to travel very far.
Always about that, not having to travel.
That's right.
Okay. You may now move on to scenario B.
Okay. Scenario B is different. It would be a competition, multi-phase competition, and I would have three different competitors. I would have the first person I would have is Michael Bay, the famed movie director.
Great.
The second competitor would be Adam Savage from Mythbusters.
And okay.
And the third competitor would be the rapper Xzibit from Pimp My Ride fame. And the competition would be build your own drone.
Okay.
In your style. So Michael Bay, it's got to be like ridiculously over the top, you know, $100 million drone.
Explodes within 5 seconds of taking off.
Right. Tons of explosions.
Okay.
All kinds of just crazy town going on. Right. Adam Savage would be something ridiculous, but very practical at the same time. Something would actually work, probably. And probably
this
also
would be the only one to fly.
Yeah, it probably also would have some sort of explosive element to it, just for the fun
of it. Most likely.
Right. And then exhibits would be just outrageous, over the top, I'm sure.
Doug, I heard you like drones, so I built a drone that can drone while you fly your drone, yo.
Precisely. I see which team you're cheering for.
So his drone's going to sound like a bagpipe the whole time it's flying? That way it drones on?
No.
Shaking your head?
I'm shaking my head. As is his exhibit, I'm sure. There'll be lots of chrome, I'm sure, on his drone, on exhibit's drone. I'm sure there'll be an incredible speaker system, lots of hidden compartments, lots of screens, lots of TVs. I remember on Pimp My Ride, when he used to do it, they used to have like TVs everywhere and all these vehicles that they would soup up.
That's an understatement. Right.
So that's phase one of the competition. Who can make who can make the coolest drone? And then it's essentially going to be battle bots in the air. We're going to go to Tokyo, because I think it would be cool to do it at Tokyo at night.
Okay, that makes sense.
Fits perfectly into a Michael Bay movie, I suppose.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And don't forget, I'll also have a drone in this competition.
I had already counted you out. I mean, as soon as you said Michael Bay and Adam Savage.
No, I'm in this competition. I'm not going to win.
Right, okay.
Right.
At least you're being realistic about your odds.
Right, right. We're going to fly our drones through downtown Tokyo, or through Tokyo at night. And it's going to be last man flying. So it's essentially bumper cars in the air, but with drones.
Okay. Now, see, when you originally said downtown Tokyo, the first thing that came into my mind was, oh no, no more firebombing. We already did that once. Let's not do it again.
No.
Okay.
No.
You're worrying me there, especially with Michael Bay as one of the competitors, man.
Yes. Well, also keep in mind, this is not real.
I know, but still, Michael Bay.
Right.
It doesn't have to be real. I mean, come on, you can be dreaming of something Michael Bay did and you will explode in your sleep.
Perhaps.
That's how Michael Bay works.
Right. Before we blow up things we didn't intend to blow up, why don't we jump into our main game?
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah. Let me go ahead and get a quick sip of my drink here.
Tonight's main game is you've been hired to create your own amusement park attraction. So it could be a ride. It could be a show. It could be a parade. It could be whatever it is you would see at a Six Flags, at Disney World, Universal Studios, that kind of place. I want to know where you're going to locate this attraction. What's the name of it? Tell us all about the attraction. Who it's geared towards, and if it's a ride, how tall you have to be.
Okay. That's a pretty tall list.
It's a list.
Yeah, it's a list.
I trust you can handle it.
It's about 5'4".
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, I'm not going to edit crickets in there either. I'm just going to let that one fall flat. So, as far as location, we'll hold off on that one for a second.
Tell me about your ride first, or your attraction.
Okay. The attraction, see, I've got like six of them.
All right.
And well, we're not going to go through all six, so we're just going to pick the best.
All right. Well, let's start with, are they all rides, or are they?
We'll go with the one that's more kind of like a cerebral experience.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, like at California Adventure, they've got that whole theater experience thing, like 4D, where they pump in all the smells and everything while you go through for the whole flying around like an eagle and whatnot.
Right.
Okay. We're going to take all the classic silent films, like where they used to do all the crazy stunts.
Okay.
Like running from train to train and all that stuff.
Sure.
And we're going to strap you into a creche and put electrodes all over your body.
What do you mean strapped into?
A medical creche.
A medical crash? Like a...
Crash. Like a thing that cradles your body.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're strapping you into one of those.
Learn something.
Putting electrodes in key areas.
Okay.
And then we're putting you in this fully immersive VR to where you act and feel like you're in these old-timey movies.
Okay. Is there sound?
There is really, really crazy old-school honky-tonk piano stuff going in the background. Okay.
But no voices.
No voices.
Okay.
Now imagine
Is the virtual world in black and white?
Black, white, sepia, you know, okay. The good stuff.
Right. Okay.
So imagine, if you will, you're running on top of a train. You're jumping from train to train, being chased by a robber. Okay. Suddenly the tunnel comes up. You have to decide. Do you try to jump up onto the land? Do you go under and ride through the tunnel? These are things that you actually have to do, and you'll experience them. And your body will experience, as close as it can, like the impulses that would cause your muscles to tighten as you bend under to go through the tunnel.
What if you have decision paralysis? Will you feel like you're crashing into a brick wall?
Yes, and the medics may have to revive you.
That's fine. I think
it is a full-blown cerebral experience. And when the title cards come up on your silent film,
yeah,
you know, like on those TV shows where they've got people standing in the shapes to try to get through those styrofoam cutouts?
Sure.
Imagine that, but with title cards. So you're running across this train, and all of a sudden the title card comes up, and it's this giant black title card with letters. And if you don't do something, you're going to hit one of those letters at 50 miles an hour.
Ouch.
Yes. So because this is all done electronically,
yeah,
this will be a traveling attraction.
Interesting. Okay.
It'll be in the back of 8 semis.
Like all connected to each other?
Well, you're going to have to. 1 semi for the medical crashes, and then 7 semis for the batteries, the computers, and all that good stuff.
Okay.
And then 3 tour buses for the medical staff.
Right, at least. And probably a van or something for the coroner.
No. No.
There's no way everybody's going to survive that.
Well, there's really no need for a coroner. We're going to make sure that we stop in cities that have medical schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. I mean, you're signing up to donate yourself to science if you fail.
All right. That's fair. Totally fair. I think. So what's the name of this experience?
The Chaplain.
Chaplain. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a portion of this attraction where you do the Charlie Chaplin dance?
Yes.
Awesome.
If you make it through all 23 scenarios without dying or otherwise incapacitating yourself,
yeah,
then you get to do the dance as a celebration. If you fail the dance, well, you don't want to know what happens if you fail the dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a traveling show, so we know it'll be located all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the experience of the ride is. We know it's called the Chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your target market here? Who's the same torts?
Well, it's kind of a weird attraction because it's appealing to old movie buffs that like the attraction of the silent films before the era of the talkie.
Right. Most of those people probably aren't physically capable to go on this ride.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you've got a lot of young kids that actually like those movies for...
Okay.
Well, because it's something you can put on in the background while you're doing something in your apartment, and it's just going on in the background.
Okay, if you say so.
I do. I'm probably completely wrong on that one, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Yeah. It's your scenario.
So, it's geared towards them and also adrenaline junkies for the most part.
Okay. That makes sense. And is there a height requirement?
Just because the medical technology involved, minimum height of 4'8", maximum height of 6'9".
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we won't be able to do a one size fits all, but we'll carry around enough medical crashes that we can pull it off.
Are you going to have like a Charlie Chaplin cutout with like his hat, and your head has to be at least at the height of the hat in order to go on this ride?
Well, actually, that's how we'll do it. Because he had a lot of characters in his movies. So whichever character your height matches is the character that you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But you can't be the dictator. That's the only thing.
Is that a movie that he was in?
You don't remember Charlie Chaplin's most famous speech that he ever gave in a talking movie?
I've never watched a Charlie Chaplin movie.
I'm sending you a link after this recording. It will change your life.
Okay.
It's better than hockey.
I don't know if that is could be possible, but if you say so.
Okay, to me, it's better than hockey.
That doesn't really count, so.
So what crazy attraction have you come up with?
I've got two. I don't know which one I want to go with. I'm going to give you both again. You tell me.
At least you don't have six.
Yeah, I've only got two. So again, you can tell me which one to start building out.
Okay.
All right. So my first one is, it's a ride slash experience. And, you know, my biggest thing with amusement park rides with roller coasters is that they're so short. Like, you wait in line for however long you wait in line, sometimes a couple of minutes, sometimes an hour. And the ride is like 60 seconds or 2 minutes or something.
About 2.5 minutes. A 60-second coaster would be like a kid's coaster that only goes around in a circle.
Yeah. So it's like you wait all this time, then it's just a really, you know, quick experience and it's over. It's like, I want a ride. If I'm going to build an attraction, it's going to be a big attraction.
Right. And
this ride is going to be so long, there's going to be a built-in nap break because I want a ride that if you're going to wait in line, you're going to get your time. You're going to get your money's worth out of it.
Okay.
So this ride is like hours long and it's going to be a ride that takes you through the four seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. Because I like regular roller coasters. I also like water rides. So it's going to combine everything. And it'll essentially be like a roller. Well, it'll have a track of a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be multiple tracks because, of course, the ride is going to be a competitive ride.
Okay.
Right. So you're competing.
Competitions.
Yes. You're going to compete against other riders that are going at the same time as you. You're going to go on this track. I guess you'll be in some sort of, I can't think of the word. Like some sort of raft on this track. Okay. You'll be like an individual raft on a track. So it'll keep moving you along the ride.
Okay. So it's almost like a toboggan coaster.
Yeah. So if you'll have a strap, because there's going to be like loops and corkscrews and all that stuff. Because what's a good ride without twists and turns and going upside down and things like that. But it'll have to be, I'm using rafts because there's going to be water elements to this attraction.
Okay. Okay.
So
kind of like where this is heading.
Yeah. So you're going to go through the four seasons. I'm not sure in what order yet. I haven't worked that out yet. but like in the summer, when you're going through the summer element of this ride, you'll have a water balloon fight. And so you'll be tossing water balloons at your fellow riders. And the more hits you get, the more points you have, which will accumulate as you go on in the competition. In the winter, there'll be a snowball fight. So as you go through the winter part of the ride, you'll have snow in your raft and you'll start making snowballs and chucking them at your fellow riders. And the more hits you get, the more points you earn. I think in the fall, maybe we'll do paintball on that part, that section of the ride.
Okay.
Right. And don't forget, this is not just like you're going down a raft at, you know, 1 mile an hour. It's in a straight line. You're going through loops and turns and twists and going through tunnels. And sometimes you can see, sometimes you can't. And you're trying to score points as you're doing this.
How long is this track?
It's very long because don't forget, it's so long that between seasons, you got to take a nap. It's long.
I'm trying to think of this roller coaster and the average speed of toboggan type roller coasters. And
I haven't worked out the physics yet.
I mean, by the time you do the inversions, the straps and all that good stuff, to do a 365 day ride, you'd be looking at least 12,000 miles of track.
You're not on the ride for 365 days. It's like,
Okay. Like, I liked my idea better then.
No, it's like 8 hours.
I thought you were talking like you live on this raft for a year.
and will spit out my water. No, you don't live on the raft for a year.
I was already imagining the forever raft.
I mean, eventually, maybe there'll be an iteration, or maybe we'll have a competition down the road where whoever can last on the raft the longest, like those people that like have to have one hand on a car the longest, wins the car.
Now, okay, to be fair, while you were going through the description of this, and yeah. I started rabbit trailing on how long this thing would be, I went to Google.
Okay.
And I typed in world's longest. Let's ignore what Google thought I was going to type in first. But when I typed in roller coaster, it brought up Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay.
World's longest roller coaster is like 1.5 miles. Really cool roller coaster. It's in Japan. But record number 8 for roller coaster record. Most naked riders on a theme park ride.
Okay.
WTF, Guinness. WTF.
Yeah. You're gonna have to wear clothes on my roller coaster.
That's also what got me thinking of the logistics of a 365-day roller coaster. How are you gonna do clothing changes?
No, you have to wear clothes.
Okay.
You probably want a layer because you're gonna be going through the elements. You probably don't want to be just in a swimsuit when we're throwing snowballs.
Okay, so the 8-hour forever toboggan.
Yeah.
I like it. What's the second attraction so I can close out of this Guinness World Record page with naked people?
So the second attraction is a riff on a classic. And that classic ride is It's a Small World.
No.
At Disney World. But no. I'm going to fix it. Okay. Because the worst part of It's a Small World is you never get the song out of your head. Once you go on that ride, that song is stuck in your head for way too long.
Okay. I made it 15 years before it got back in my head and you just ruined that streak.
You're welcome. So what I'm going to create is it's an 80s world or 80s, 90s world. It's going to be
a trip. No, leave it with the 80s. Leave it with the 80s. That way you've got the little mannequins wearing Flock of Seagulls haircuts.
Well, I mean, it's basically a trip through my childhood.
Okay.
It's all nostalgia for me. So it's going to be, it's a Small World style ride. So you get in a little boat and you go on a track in a water thing inside, and there'll be different lands or different areas that you'll go riding by. But instead of having those creepy, whatever it is on It's a Small World, it's creepy characters.
The animatronic things. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have, I'm going to have animatronics in mind, but it'll be like animatronic versions of 80s sitcoms and cartoons and game shows. And while you're going on this ride, you're going to get like snacks from the 80s, popular candies and whatever else there was back then. The way I'm fixing this ride is instead of playing It's a Small World, we're going to play the best theme songs from the 80s.
Under one condition, you have to start and end with Danger Zone.
Definitely starting with Danger Zone. That'll definitely work. I don't know about the end, but we'll see.
Question. What year was Pretty Woman? Was that late 80s or early 90s?
Let's see. Pretty Woman was 1990.
Like 1990 even?
That's what Google is telling me.
Okay, we're calling it 80s.
Well, it's probably filmed in the 80s. It was released on March 23rd, 1990.
Okay, yeah, so it was filmed in the 80s. We're going to count it.
Okay.
Because you've got to have some type of montage for that during the ride.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be all the classics. Right? This is going to be like a totally laid back, chill ride. Kick back with some 80s snacks and drinks, and you get to relive one of the best eras of all time, at least in terms of pop culture.
Yeah, you had some pretty good times there in the 80s. I regret that I only got to live half of that decade.
So my target market for this ride is me.
Nothing but greed there.
Yep, I'm being honest. I'm making this ride for me, right? I want to relive my childhood. No height requirement. Whatever height you are, you should be able to enjoy nostalgia.
Fair enough.
From my time. So those are my two rides. One's a competitive four season, really long roller coaster / water ride. And the other is a nostalgic trip to the 80s remake of It's a Small World.
Okay.
So which should I build first?
Oh, wow. I say you build It's an 80s World first to fund the Forever Toboggan.
Right. Yeah. Because 80s World would definitely be easier and less expensive to build.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to throw one more of my rides at you here really quick, and it'll just be a quickie.
All right.
So one of the ones I left out, you start in the West Coast. So you've got this platform that's about 7-8 miles up.
Okay.
And it's a straight shot toboggan to New York City.
Oh, awesome. I'm game.
No rails, no canopy, just a lap belt.
That sounded awesome.
Well, okay.
Until the lack of safety.
And it's not a full pipe either. It's a 3/4 pipe. So you can see the air above you.
Oh, but there's still kind of walls around the sides.
Still kind of walls, but don't rock side to side, because if you do, you're going to break loose and
tumble.
I mean, there's cameras to let people know if there's a jam in the track, but there's not really going to be stopping a toboggan once it gets going.
So if you're starting 7 or 8 miles up, are you like, have you broken through the atmosphere?
No.
I'm trying to think. Because you're like, oh no, you're only like 40,000 feet.
Yeah, Everest is like just shy of 30. So.
I was thinking 70 to 80 miles.
Up. Yeah, no, we're not doing a Felix Baumgartner here.
That would be fun.
That would be fun, but I think the toboggan would be just a little bit easier to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say easier than people listening to this right now going, you have no concept of what's easy.
Right.
I know there's a logistical nightmare there, but think about all the jobs we would create by building the toboggan.
I have one very important question about this ride.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested. Like, I want to go on it. Okay. How do you get up to the top to start the ride?
Elevator.
Elevator. Okay. Good choice.
Elevator.
Good choice.
And it is handicap accessible.
That's nice.
This is a fully ADA compliant ride.
Okay.
You will visit the heartland of the United States, albeit briefly.
Very.
And about partway over, because it will, I said straight shot, but it's going to have a small curve that goes through the northern panhandle of Texas.
Yeah.
If you have the skill, you can catch your dinner in Amarillo.
I was going to ask if there's any snacks or anything, but I
guess a 72-ounce steak about halfway.
Okay.
So you're eating this giant 72-ounce steak in the toboggan.
If your stomach hasn't dropped out from going downhill 7 to 8 miles.
If you manage to survive the toboggan and eat the steak, you get to ride again for free.
Interesting.
Well, we should probably wrap it up before you miss your, what are you doing tonight? A NHL draft?
Yes. Fantasy hockey draft.
Yes,
we will wrap it up. I appreciate you coming on and telling me about your insane Charlie Chaplin themed experience and your slightly less insane, well, at least to me, toboggan ride from the West Coast to the East Coast. Let me know when signups are open.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Where can people find you online, Jenny?
Well, they can find me at theinkedwell.com, or they can find me on Twitter and Instagram at theinkedwell. And that's about it. I'm doing some consolidating on where people can find me.
All right. That's it for this episode of Hypothetical. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _hypothetical and subscribe to Hypothetical on your podcast player choice. Until next time, this is Hypothetical.